Well, in a moment, we're going to introduce you to Jason Quitt. He is the co-author, Disclosed, Chronicles of John Teeter II, with the book with Bob Mitchell and John Teeter. And we're going to chat with him, as well as John Teeter, who will stay with us another hour, our final hour with them, next on Coast to Coast AM. We are back. Jason Quitt with us. Jason is a graduate of the Institute of Energy Wellness, a student of the Algonquin Shamanism. He's been training and working with a lot of teachers, shamans, traditional healers from all around the planet. He's also the author and teacher of Egyptian Postures of Power and the Yusuf Codes. Those are methods of personal healing and practice, by the way. So he is the co-author with, I should say, the tri-author on the book Disclosed, Chronicles of John Teeter II. And before we bring John Teeter back in, let's chat with Jason a little bit about this incredible story. Jason, what do you think about all this?
Well, like I said, when we released the book Forbidden Knowledge, everybody was talking about John Teeter, and I really didn't know who he was. So I looked him up, and we started to talk about many different things. And the thing that really surprised me about John is that when we were speaking, he sounded like my grandfather. And my grandfather was a war hero, and he fought. And when he would tell me stories and recall his memories of war and what he did, when I spoke to John, it was a very similar conversation. And another interesting thing is when John was on missions in different points in the future, he said some things to me that I've never told anybody about my personal journeys to those time zones. And he was right on the money with a lot of the things that he was telling me. So right away I knew, okay, this guy has a story, and let's call Bob and let's connect us all together and see if this can go somewhere.
Jason, what did you think of him when you first started talking with him?
You know, he was, I would say he was very guarded. He really didn't want to say too much. You sense that he had a lot of fear that he may say the wrong thing. And it took a little time talking with him for him to fully open up to start telling us his story. So it wasn't just like he came out in the open and started to tell us all these things. We've been talking with John for about 6 months. And during that time, we speak about 8 hours a week face-to-face on Skype. So you really get to hear a lot of stories and spend a lot of time talking about personal things. So do I think he's making it up? Actually, I wish he was making it up, because he reveals a lot of very scary things about our future, but also a lot of positive things in our future, too.
And let's bring John back now. John, what was the original mission? Why were you sent back here?
Well, what happened to me in 2036, I had a little falling out with the U.S. Air Force.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And I talk about it in the book. And I was responsible for an investigation of four assassinations that occurred in our history. And I sent two-man teams to investigate all four independently, and they all came back, and they had digital photos, and they had written out reports. And I said, don't put your names on them, because your lives won't be worth a plug nickel. And basically, I read everything, I digitized everything, and then I sent it up to the Marine general that had given me the mission. And then what had happened was, about 2 weeks later, he died in a helicopter crash.
Oh, boy.
And then after that, I had a general and a full-bird colonel come down to Area 51 and do an Article 32 investigation on me. And they grilled me for a full day, and they wanted to know that if I had kept any of the materials from those investigations. And basically, I had it on a thumb drive.
Wow. So you weren't like trying to escape, were you?
No. And so at the end of the day, it was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they walked into my office and said that I'd been relieved. And they told me they had a mission for me to go on. And then I went on the mission and I came back. And when that mission was over, about 2-3 months later, then I retired. And I had an attachment to a woman living in this timeline. And I've been with her now for since 2000.
So when you came back to this timeline, and I still want to find out why this timeline, you fell in love with somebody.
Yeah.
Well, that happens. That happens.
I basically sent them to this timeline and checked on her a couple times, and I told her that when I was done that we'd get back together.
Now, originally, though, John, when you came back to this time period, what was it for? Some people originally it said you were looking for IBM computer parts or something.
No. I sent an operative to this timeline, and she was trying to raise awareness of environmental issues, and she was a little more than a lobbyist and trying to make people aware. And she even tried to work with Al Gore, and it wasn't going anywhere. And I'd come back to the timeline a couple times and checked on her. I said, the only people that can really make environmental policies and make them work is Congress. And that's all been a dismal failure.
Can anything that you have seen that will happen in the future, can it be changed, or are we stuck with it now?
We're on the cusp of the oceans dying, and I don't think anything is going to change that. There's a very interesting thing that Obama did here recently. He went to Midway Island, and all the seabirds there have ingested plastic, and there are dead seabirds on the beaches. And if you open them up, you find all this plastic inside them.
Yeah,
and
right.
The seals and the fish, the same thing. And we have huge floating islands of plastic in our oceans. And what will happen about 2050 is the krill will die off. And everything that feeds on the krill will start to die off.
Well, that's not good.
And when the oceans start to die, then, you know, like third world countries that depend on, you know, their fisheries to survive will be hard put to survive. And so rapidly what happens is mankind is thrown into some civil disorder, and some wars pick up over food, and the air gets continually to be worse and worse. So all these environmental issues that, you know, like we were warned about by Al Gore, are all going to come to pass. And then the oceans will rise as much as 50, 60 feet. And that will play havoc with the shorelines of this country.
Now, I know you won't tell us who won the election coming up in November, but can you tell us if that person ended up being good for our country or not? What do you think?
I project World War III in the book, and what happens is the president and the vice president get radiation poisoning.
Oh, geez. which means we do too.
Oh, millions die. Millions die.
And you don't think this can be stopped or altered in any way?
We actually do turn it around, and I tell you how we turn it around in the book, of course, but I don't really want to give that away right now. I'm hoping that, Jason, do you think that that's something we should just hold back on?
Yes, but it's also something that you worry about being back in 2000. You're also worried that the timeline has been shifted just because you're back here now. So I think it's okay for you to say what you want to say.
All right. Go ahead, John.
Sometime in the next 2 years here, 2018, I don't think it'll be in 2019, but 2018, we'll be attacked by the Iranians.
On our homeland?
Yes. And it'll be devastating, it'll be unprovoked, and it'll just wipe out Washington, New York, parts of Virginia, where Langley is. It'll just be devastating. But we'll respond. And
I'm sure the response will be horrifying.
But what the environmental impact to the entire planet is the radiation sickness and a nuclear winter that follows will be devastating for the planet. And it is hastens the demise of mankind on the planet. So then I come up with a way to turn that all around.
And do we listen? Do we take heed to that advice?
Well, we do, and I'm given permission to do something to turn it around. And so I actually do successfully change the timeline. And we tell you how we do it. But it is with great risk.
How old are you now, John?
The doctors tell me I'm somewhere around 70, and the problem is it's hard to keep track of it all.
Well, you're back and forth so much, we've lost dates with you, I guess.
Yes, and then, if you go off-world and at one point I was given command of 2 TR-3Bs, and we went off for a number of years looking at 10 likely off-world colony sites where we could take people and start colonies based on what the resources in the planet was. And we actually found 2 that were really good candidates, one in the Wolf system, one in the Kepler. And basically, we've been, I think for over a decade now, working on getting those colonies up and going. They have to reach a point of self-sufficiency where they can live off the land and produce technology. You know what I'm saying?
Well, with John Teeter, the time traveler, and Jason Quitt, they, along with Bob Mitchell, wrote the book that just came out today, Disclosed, Chronicles of John Teeter the Second. And the reason why it's the second, because most of you will remember the John Teeter story from 2000, 2001, maybe even a little before that, of some of the strange things. Ironically, though, John, the other John Teeter, I don't want to call him the original John Teeter, who talked of civil unrest and disturbances, unless he was very lucky, some of those things have been happening.
Yes. He did talk about civil disturbances, and we've had civil disturbances, but not on a scale, I think, that he imagined. I don't even think that with the agitation that has happened with Black Lives Matter and some of the killing of police officers, I think that we're able to keep the population calm and let the law take its course.
There's an individual who's been on the program before. His name is Oliver Williams, and he claims that he is the holder, basically, of the JohnTeter.com website and the information that came out during the early 2000s. Do you have anything to do with Oliver or not?
I've never spoken with him, but I've looked at his website. Yes, I looked at it.
Does it bother you that there may be an imposter out there?
I'm very aggravated. There's probably not less than 150 John Titers on Facebook alone. And I've tried to figure out, well, maybe they cloned me from an original model. And so I looked for the original model or some link that some way I could link it back to me or figure out why they gave me that name. And I guess that, you know, they're in a situation where, as far as the cloning goes, that we got the cloning technology. Bio labs at Dulce Base have been talked about for years. And I think that they were cloning to grow replacement parts for some individuals in our government and things like that. But I think that they could replace an entire person and get them with the memories of the other person. Absolutely. They have the technology.
Do we eventually get chipped in our bodies? Computer chips?
One of the things that they start doing as part of the time travel group, you would get chipped. And then there is another device that you have that locates you with the chip. So if you're lost while on a mission, you can be located.
At any time, can the people from 2036 bring you back up to them?
I do consult at Area 51 and Edwards from time to time. They furnish me with a place to live, and my agreement is I'll talk to them and I collect a pension.
So they do take care of you financially?
Pretty much. That's what's happened. I live in a compound not too far from Palmdale Airport, and I can just go over and show my badge and get on the Janus aircraft and go to Area 51, or I can drive out on the 14 to Edwards.
You had also mentioned, John, that you came back and looked at some assassinations, what your team did. Did you obviously look into the JFK, the John F. Kennedy assassination?
Yes.
Do you send them back to that time period where they witnessed what happened?
I had my operatives stationed on one just in front of the grassy knoll, one down the street from Dealey Plaza, and one across the street from the grassy knoll. And they all took digital photographs and followed the perpetrators.
It was a triangular shoot, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, I always knew that. All right, stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment. We'll talk more with you, John Teeter, and you, Jason Quitt. And we'll also open up the phone lines. Lots of folks have been just jumping to make a call here, so we're going to do that too. Okay, in this segment, we will take your phone calls with John Teeter, the time traveler, Jason Quitt, also the author of the book, Disclosed, Chronicles of John Teeter II, next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with John Teeter, Jason Quitt. The website, by the way, they're all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. John, the mechanism to time travel, the TR-3B triangular-shaped UFO, what was it that allowed the time traveling? Was it some kind of speed? Did you go through a time warp? What was it?
It's all about speed. And the spacecraft is capable of going greater than the speed of light.
Aha. And you have the ability to set it for the time period you want to enter?
You just plug the numbers in and you're there. It's that simple.
Jason, when you were doing this book with Bob and John, what was the one thing that just kind of stuck out for you, startled you? Was there one thing?
You know what? It just actually answered a lot of questions that I personally had. And I always had this idea that what if our timelines were tampered with? Because when I would go out in my astral journeys and do time travel, I would see many different timelines, and there are many different things happening in those timelines. And then you're getting into the world of extraterrestrials and different beings trying to influence the way the world goes. And when John started to talk to me about the perspective from the military from a very physical angle, it fit very perfectly with what I was trying to figure out from a spiritual level or an astral level. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, are we in control of our timeline? Has it been hijacked? Is there such thing as time wars? And are there, I would say, other entities or alien beings that have treaties that maintain and watch and try to alter and affect our timeline?
All right, we're going to take some phone calls with both of you here with the time remaining. We'll start by going to Knoxville, Tennessee on the wild card line. Francine is with us. Hi, Francine. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. Well, this has been very upsetting, being a mom and a grandma. And this treaty, supposedly, that Obama, Kerry, and Hillary did with Iran really means nothing. Did they really know it was going to mean nothing? And what can, you know, with these timelines, why couldn't this have come out to prevent, you know, the treaty and let the people know? And what can we do for our own families if this disaster is pending here to go and help ourselves?
Good questions.
Since the government doesn't seem to want to.
John, this would be for you.
Well, unfortunately, Obama wanted to come to some nuclear proliferation agreement with Iran, and he was just about willing to do anything. And they even agreed without bringing Congress into it, or anybody else for that matter, that there would be exceptions and that the Iranians would be allowed to do some things that the public would never be told about. But the whole thing is that there is very little to stop Iran from building nuclear weapons and perfecting delivery systems. And the Russians have sold them missiles to deliver the warheads with. And interestingly enough, it's documented that Hillary Clinton and her husband Bill actually were involved in a deal to sell plutonium to the Russians.
Well, they gave them the rights for a lot of uranium too, didn't they?
Yes. So it's just crazy, and I think that Bill and Hillary would just about do anything for money. There's no question in my mind. But to give Iran what, 400 million was ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
What happens to North Korea, John? I mean, we have, and I'm sure you've been watching the episodes, this guy's a nut job in North Korea. Does anything happen
there? he'll eventually push it over the line, and either we'll respond or the Chinese will respond. The Chinese will only tolerate so much, and they'll take care of them.
I think you're right.
The Chinese don't want a nuclear war. The Chinese have a huge problem with their atmosphere as it is. They have whole days where they tell people to stay home and not try to go to work that live in Beijing because the air is so unhealthful. They have tremendous environmental issues there because they've ignored it.
Let's go to Chicago. Wayne is with us. Hey, Wayne, go ahead. Good to have you with us.
So much. Thank you so much, George.
Sure.
Your guest, now he just mentioned that $400 million that was given to Iran. Nobody's telling the truth about that money was Iran's money owed to Iran. Another thing he hasn't brought up, the fact that the United States, using NATO, has supported a Nazi fascist government in Ukraine, and they threw the democratically elected president out. Even though he was corrupt, he was still democratically elected. They threw him out. Now it's a Nazi fascist regime. The United States is surrounding Russia on all sides with weapons and troops. And another thing, Iran is not going to attack the United States without Russia and China knowing about it. So they'll be in on it. But my question is, since he said he went back to like 2000 BC, did he make a pit stop and stop off at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? And if he did he try to speak with them? Because the language of the day was Aramaic.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then Jesus Christ can speak perfect English. So did he make a pit stop and try to speak to Jesus Christ before the crucifixion? And that's my question.
All right. That is the question. John Teeter, did you get back that far?
200 B.C.
200
that was,
B.C. So you went back even beyond that during the period of Christ, you know, a little before B.C. into 33 A.D.
I went to 200 B.C. in what is now mainland China.
Okay, so you did not get to the time period of Jesus and the crucifixion.
No.
That would have been fascinating.
I wish I could have.
Yeah.
But no.
That would have been fascinating. Are they still are they still time traveling now?
Yes. Yes, they do it.
Different
kind. One of the things about time travel, if you're going from the Milky Way to say Andromeda, you want to use time travel. You want to get there as quickly as possible.
Are they bending space and time, getting from point A to point B?
It's all about space, time, and gravity. That's what's manipulated.
How many civilizations are out there, intelligent in civilizations?
I actually visited one, and I went to Nibiru on a diplomatic mission.
Which is our 10th planet, probably, right?
Yes.
It's out there somewhere. So the Anunnaki, the Zechariah, I don't know if you knew of Zechariah Sitchin, but his theory was that the Anunnaki came here 400,000 years ago to genetically manipulate the creatures that were on the planet that became us.
Exactly.
That happened?
Yes. And the Anunnaki live on Nibiru. Their numbers are down. They've used up the resources on that planet. But they're a warrior race. They've been to many galaxies, and what they do is they look for planets like Earth, and they basically, when possible, pass themselves off as gods, and the local populations are enamored of them in the very beginning.
Jim in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Welcome to the program, Jim. Go ahead.
Thank you, George. Kind of a three-part question. I'll take my answer off the air.
All right.
Since he just talked about Nibiru, Are they on their way here? Is that planet going to destroy Earth? Number two is, what about the EMP that we've been worried so much about, George?
Okay.
And then what was the third part? I can't remember, but I'll still remember it when I get off.
All right, let's go with these two. Nibiru apparently is in a 3,600-year elliptical orbit, John Teeter, and we're told in the writings by Sitchin that when that planet gets close, all kinds of things happen to this planet, calamities, floods, you name it. Is that the case?
I'm told that it is not out of the realm of possibility that some disturbances, gravitational disturbances, may occur. It just depends on how close it does come. And that I haven't even been told. And I've asked that question. Now, if you want to talk about EMP, an EMP occurs as a result of a nuclear blast in the blast area. And the military actually has a weapon that creates an EMP to disable technological weapons. And I have used that. It works very well.
Can you take other people back into time or forward from this time period? Are you allowed to do that?
As I told you previously, I actually do have the means to still time travel.
Right.
And people know that I have this. And I have a spacecraft at my disposal that can easily go greater than light speed, but I don't use it on a daily basis.
What an incredible machine that must be. Nancy in Texas. Hi, Nance.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Okay, I got two questions. One, do you have any information regarding to this one particular picture from 1941 where there's like a supposedly footage of a time traveler just standing around with the other people around.
Is that the one that looks like he's got a cell phone in his hand?
No, the one with like those futuristic goggles looking, and he's like wearing those everyday clothes that probably a young person would wear.
All right, and what's the second question?
And the other question is, excuse me.
Oh, you forgot it too. Everybody's forgetting their second questions. John, there have been some photographs of people, older pictures, maybe like from the 1800s, but it looks like a modern day person is in the photograph. Has that happened?
It's very likely that there are time travelers that the usual mission is to go back and observe and report and not to interfere. And you're not to disseminate information from where you came from. In other words, don't go back to the 1800s and tell them how to make a telephone or a cell phone. Or
they're not going to know what to do.
Well, they wouldn't be able to produce the technology to begin with.
No.
You're not supposed to give up that kind of information. And with the book that Jason and Bob and I have put together, I actually put the time travel manual in there and how time travel is conducted and what the members of the teams do when they're on a time travel mission. So there's a lot of things that they don't do. But I saw just recently a very good picture of Marilyn Monroe, who we know is dead. But in the background is someone that looks like that's holding the latest and greatest iPhone taking your picture.
Right.
And so that's an anomaly. And how could that be there? And so basically all the time travelers have something that looks like an iPhone. It's called a return time travel device.
Huh.
And that's how they initiate a code and they get picked up.
Fascinating technology. Jason, what's the one thing that you've really learned from all of this since you've been writing the book?
That's a good question. You know, I really didn't have much information about the Greys. And, you know, I always thought them to be nefarious and evil and abducting. Mm-hmm. And John's perspective is that one of his best friends is a gray alien, and he told me about their race and what they were doing here. And it was a completely different perspective than I've heard before. And I think, John, I think, why don't you introduce who your friend is?
Well, when I was at Dulce, New Mexico, and they wanted us to become familiar with extraterrestrials, they introduced us to a gray alien. And he would test us to see if we could talk to him telepathically. And that was part of our makeup in our DNA, that we can use telepathy.
Right.
And
remote viewing, everything like that, I'm sure.
Yeah, and so I met this gray alien, and he's young, not very old, and his nickname was Rock. And when I left Dulce, New Mexico for Los Alamos, he stopped me in the hallway and he said, "We'll meet again." And sure enough, we did meet again. And we met again at Area 51. And the joke between the two of us is that he's going to come to where I am and watch the Super Bowl with me.
Do you like American sports now?
You know, what is very funny is that he likes to eat Doritos.
It would be a great commercial for the Dorito company.
You know, and we sit there and we watch it, you know. And he always wants me to bet with me, you know. And
well, so that's because you know the winner already, don't you?
Oh, usually. He just likes to watch. But it's the kind of thing that goes back and forth, you know. And then my wife says, "Well, he can't come to the front door. He'll scare the neighbors."
I love it. John, thanks. Let's keep in touch before you travel on again. And Jason, thank you as well. The book is called Disclosed: Chronicles of John Teeter II. He may have been the John Teeter.